And I met one of my guests on the icy steps outside the radio station. Dara Strauss from the Kalamazoo Film Society is here, along with Mike Marchak. And we're going to talk about December offerings of the Kalamazoo Film Society. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Well, who wants to start off? There are two major releases that you are sponsoring at the Celebration Cinema, and the one that I have heard most about is Parasite from Bong Joon-ho.
Right, and excuse me. Right, it's a film that should not be missed, and we'll talk a lot about it. Mike said he could talk for 30 minutes just about that film. We have, do have other things to talk about, too, today. The one thing, caveat, that we need to let people know, it will only be in town today and tomorrow at Celebration Cinema in Crossroads. So that's one thing. After you hear us talk about it, I'm sure you will want to see it. So know that it's only here today and tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow. Was it running a bit earlier or just had a limited?
No, we're in week two of the run, and it was the type of thing I really had to lobby hard for to sneak it in. We're in blockbuster season, so we were getting pushed by Frozen, then by Knives Out. We've got Star Wars breathing down our necks, and even actually just this Friday, we've got Jumanji, whatever, and because third, fourth, fifth, and then you got Richard Jewell starting too. So, and then Knives Out is still doing well, so is Frozen, so they got to find screens for everything. So the poor little...
And Ford versus Ferrari,
yeah,
too. Don't
that
forget
one
that one,
so,
too.
And
there's a lot out
well.
There.
Yeah,
yeah,
so,
a lot,
and then
there.
There's more backing up. So to have it here 2 weeks, I think, was a victory in itself.
So, yeah. It's called Parasite, and it's showing today and tomorrow at Celebration Cinema. And listings are found by going to the calfilmsociety.net website. You can find links there to all the showings. And this seems like, according to what I've seen from critics, one of the very best films that they saw all year.
It's already won from the Cannes Film Festival, the Palme d'Or.
First
Korean film to win the Palme d'Or, too.
Right. Is that right? So what is it that recommends this film?
It's got everything. It is, to me, I see a lot of films every year, and to me, it's the best film I've seen this year so far, and it's almost the end of the year. Now, I haven't seen The Irishman or Marriage Story. And those are the three films that are always being bandied about as being the three best of the year. Now, I will see both, you know, but I look at both films, and it's material both have covered before. Even though Marriage Story is supposed to be great, Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson are supposed to be great, you know, Noah Baumbach's the director, and he also had The Squid and the Whale about a decade ago, which also dealt with divorce. And then Martin Scorsese with Casino and Goodfellas. Another story, but similar territory. Bong Joon-ho and Parasite is a story I never saw coming. It is got everything. I mean, number one, it's an art film. But two, it's a dark comedy. It's a social satire. It's a thriller. It's a horror film.
You're always thrown off off kilter. And yeah. That's a good thing about it.
Well, what's funny, the longer you watch film or even television, the more you recognize cliches and tropes and things like that. So you think, okay, that's the hero, and we'll follow them all the way through this movie. And it's kind of shocking when your expectations are subverted.
It's shocking, but it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And that's, sorry, I'm having trouble, but filmmaking at its best.
Oh, there's no doubt. Bong Joon-ho. Now, we've been a big fan of his for quite a while. We've watched some of his earlier films, but he's only done 7 features. But already, after this feature, I think he's done 2 masterpieces, with this being one. And for me, he's in the pantheon of one of the greatest working filmmakers working today.
Yeah. Could you talk more about the theme of this film and why it strikes home so well?
This is the type of film... The less you know about it, the better it is for you when you go into the theater or wherever you're going to be able to see it. So it's better to talk around it, but if you were to sum it up, it's about class struggle, it's about family, it's about income inequality, it's about opportunity and all these wrapped up into all the previous aspects of the story that I just mentioned, you know, so it's just an incredible screenplay, you know. So, I mean, there's going to be, at the end of the year, I think Roma set the precedent last year for us, where you had a foreign film come in, and it had a Best Picture nomination, it had a Best Director nomination, it had a Best Screenplay nomination. I think Parasite is going to repeat that same course with all three. Now, we won't know until January 2nd when the Academy Award nominations come out. But I think Parasite is going to repeat that, and you know, you could say, well, an art film like this, a Korean film, you know, what kind of audience do you have? Well, if you look at the box office, as of last weekend, it's up around $20 million, which is unheard of for, A, a foreign film, but, B, a Korean film. So people are going and then coming back, and then as more of us are talking about it, I think, you know, that audience is only going to grow.
And not only is the screenplay wonderful, but visually it's very intricate. It's very interesting. It's something to be seen, the symbolism in it, and you keep seeing it over and over, but it's not like knock you over the head symbolism, but it's throughout the film. And it's something that is, but Mike's seen it twice. I would love to see it again.
Yeah, in fact, I'll be leading a discussion of the film after the 12:15 show today at Celebration. So
okay, it's 10:15 roughly right now.
I know.
So 2 hours from now.
Sure, I'm cutting it short. So are they.
Yeah, maybe you could talk about your class.
I do a film class with the Osher Institute, and we meet once a month and see a film, and then we stay in the theater. I arrange it with Celebration so we can discuss it afterwards and what we just saw. So instead of a book of the month club, it's like a film of the month club, you know, and only you're seeing it on site. But
is that available through, you said, the OSHA?
Yeah, you got to go through OSHA Institute on that, but you know, it's nominal, and you know, it's or you'll hear the acronym, yeah, OLLI, you know, so it's a OSHA Lifelong Learning Institute, but it was run through the university. But so yeah, they offer that opportunity, and we'll be doing Parasite, which delights me to no end at being able to talk about the best film of the year.
Wonderful. Right. Bong Joon-ho has made features with English actors before.
Has.
This one, though, is in Korean and with subtitles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the cast is exceptional. I mean, there's so many things, like Dara alluded to, that work so well with it. The editing. You know, when you have such a convoluted story like this, the editing is just exact and precise. The direction, impeccable. And the performance is just outstanding.
The performances are just, each character, just nails it.
Yeah, I mean, you can all have favorite ones. The one that plays the father has been in a number of his other films.
Yes.
And some of these critics groups have been listing him in one of the nominees for the Best Supporting Actor of their award system.
Yeah. Well, just should remind folks once again that Parasite will be screened today and tomorrow. These are the last opportunities in Kalamazoo to see special film, which looks like we'll be hearing an awful lot about as we near award season. Yeah. And the film theater is Celebration Cinema. You can find full details at calfilmsociety.net. And I'm speaking to the current and future president of Kalamazoo Film Society, Mike Marchak, and Dara Strauss. Parasite is one of the two features currently running. And shall we move on to Jojo Rabbit?
No, one other thing I'd like to add with Parasite, okay? Even though I know there's probably more than one. You know, in college, parasitology was one of my favorite classes. So let's define parasite. A parasite is an organism that lives either on or in a host organism, usually another species, and derives its nutriment from that host. That being said, if you're a competent parasite, you do not endanger your host, because therefore you're going to endanger yourself.
Right.
Bear that in mind when you see this film, because not only is this a great film, it's so aptly titled.
Right. That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, so. Parasites have a sort of symbiosis with the host. And
And then, yes, the previous title of his actually was The Host, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What are some other this titles? Is one of the first ones we brought into town. It was around 2007. And I think there was an American remake of it, too. But he also has a couple of films on Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. So if people want to see other stuff besides Parasite, we have Snowpiercer, which you mm-hmm. alluded to, with an English-speaking cast, and has great performances from a number of American actors. And another dystopian story. Well, actually, I don't know if this is dystopian, though, with... If you learn about what life's like in South Korea, the top 10% of the population own 66% of the wealth. The bottom 50% only own 2%. So we talk about income inequality here. Well, it's certainly there, too. And this plays into the plot of this film. Okay, I'll stop talking.
Okay. Yeah, and okay. So the second film that the Kalamazoo Film Society is sponsoring this month, and again, it's only here today and tomorrow, with even more screenings than Parasite, is Jojo Rabbit. And it's, a very excellent film. It borders on comedy and satire. Is very Wes Anderson-like, if you know, are familiar with his work.
I like Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
What is Jojo Rabbit? Well, should we start with the title?
Jojo, it's the story of a young boy. It's a coming-of-age story of a 10-year-old boy mm-hmm. living in Nazi Germany during World War II. Now, he wants to be a good Nazi. He has an imaginary friend who is actually Adolf Hitler, who is played by the writer-director, Taika Waititi, who is a very talented and creative guy. I believe this film is going to be a cult classic. Mm-hmm. But he gets performances out of people. So really, if you think about it, now, the criticism of this film has been, you're making light of the whole Nazi regime and the horrors that they...
Right.
And, you're right. It's a very fine line to walk, but he walks this line and he does it well. And constantly remember that it's told through this 10-year-old's eyes.
Right. Excuse me. Right. So the Adolf Hitler character is his imaginary friend.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're making me think of Charlie Chaplin.
Yes. That's a very good reference. He did that with The Great Dictator in 1940.
Right.
You know,
During the war years,
before even all the atrocities were to come out, you know. But then go a little bit later, you had Mel Brooks doing Springtime for Hitler and the Producers, you know. So, mm-hmm. and I don't think it goes without, maybe I should mention it, but Taika Waititi is half Jewish himself.
Right.
So, you know, this is something that he also shows you the horrors of the war. So he doesn't just make it all comedy. And, you know, it's a little easier to give away this storyline than Parasite. But in this, the young boy is becoming the Nazi young, you know, Hitler youth wannabes. And his mother, who's played by Scarlett Johansson, and I think everyone's going to talk about her performance in Marriage Story, but I want to say she is the soul of this movie.
Her
performance is terrific. And she's hiding a young Jewish girl in the house of the attic, and the boy doesn't know it. And it's the story of him coming to grips with his family situation, always under the eyes of the Nazis in the town.
Right, and as a coming-of-age story, he does grow. And mm-hmm. you see that, and the young actor that plays him is
sensational.
Just...
I mean, the kid came out of nowhere. His name is Roman Griffin Davis, and the kid, it's worth seeing his performance. Well, throw in Scarlett Johansson, too. Those two performances.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this film in an English-speaking film?
Oh, yes. This is, Taika is from New Zealand, for people that don't know Taika Waititi, mm-hmm. but he's terrific creative mind and... it's not only English. Sam Rockwell's in it. Rebel Wilson's in it. Who am I? Stephen Merchant.
And we haven't talked about the music in this film, too.
That's terrific, too. Darren brings up a great point, and it shows you the tongue-in-cheek aspect of the film. When they're showing a lot of footage from Hitler speaking to the ever-loving throngs, then they kind of cut to Jojo running through the streets of his town. They're playing the Beatles singing "I Want to Hold Your Hand" in German.
Oh my! There's that sense of humor.
Alone should bring
yes.
you in, okay?
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
But there's kind of a modern soundtrack, but sung in German, that kind of coincides with really the telling of the story. So.
Yeah, that's anachronistic, but I love it when filmmakers and the team comes up with a musical theme that isn't so obvious, you know, that, but still helps the tone or the film, what's going on.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah.
I thought perfect.
And you talked about Wes Anderson earlier. If you think about the Grand Budapest Hotel, everybody loved that film. And if you remember this plot of it, there is this fascist forces that are trying to get the upper hand of the hotel, and they're really kind of disarmed and overcome by love and knowledge. And that's really what happens in this, too.
It's called Jojo Rabbit, and along with Parasite, it's going to be in theaters for today and tomorrow,
right.
Courtesy of the Kalamazoo Film Society, and Dara Strauss and Mike Marchak are here talking about these offerings. And you can check the website for future showings. I'm sure you're working on January.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
why don't you talk a little bit about our collaboration with Celebration and our indie series, and because it is gets confusing because sometimes we have four offerings a month, and like now we had two, and now we're going to have a dark period, we think, for a while because of the blockbusters coming out.
That Mike alluded to.
Right.
You know,
they need screens.
Star Wars will gobble up screens, you know. So
how does that work?
Well, indie series we can do during the off periods of film distribution. So that usually means in the fall months and the early winter months, winter to spring. So we won't start our indie series again until February, where we'll take four fairly kind of obscure titles, whatever they may be. We have no idea yet. And then we'll be showing them all through the month. They'll each have a showing a day, and they'll keep rotating the time so you have opportunities to see the four films. When we're in blockbuster season, we go from a single film to a single film, or in this case, two films at a time, which they're always so generous.
They are.
But we don't know exactly when they'll hit because of all the blockbusters needing screens. And you make commitments to these distributors that, yes, we'll show it X amount of times and X amount of screens, and so anyhow, it's harder for us to get a handle on what January will hold. Now, I'm going to be pulling for, there's a new Terrence Malick film called A Hidden Life.
Wow.
And again, set during the war in Nazi Germany, but it's a serious film. And it was about a dissenter and his life dissenting from the Nazi regime. But anyhow, I don't know when we can bring it in or if. This is something that's an ongoing process.
They're showing trailers
at
the Celebration.
There are times where they don't come. They show trailers for Pain and Glory.
I
really regret not getting Pedro Almodovar's Pain and Glory. I pulled for, and it just fell through the cracks. And it has a great performance by Antonio Banderas. I think he's going to get a nomination for Best Actor in these nominations next month. And deservedly so. It's the best performance of his career.
The other thing in the indie series in February is they often will bring the shorts that are nominated for the Academy Awards.
Yes, and they'll be part of it.
And I love seeing those, the animation shorts, the narrative, and the documentary shorts. So hopefully we'll be back and we can talk about that.
Yeah, when we know those, we'll have more lead time. So we can set up with your February show, let's say, to talk about those four indie series. As far as now, I think January, we certainly can talk about the Academy Award nominations. What hit, what miss?
Let me remind listeners once again to go to the website, calfilmsociety.net. If you are a film buff and enjoying hearing this discussion and maybe wanting to talk back to your radio, you'll find like-minded people in the society, which is easy to join, and you'll get a big heads up on whatever's showing. Dara is herself a filmmaker, and we've talked about shorts before. I wonder if we could take a quick moment to talk about Darius Gardner.
Yes. The Kalamazoo Film Society does support local filmmakers as well as bringing in these great films. And tomorrow, Thursday, there's a Unreeled series at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. It's at 6:30. It's once a month. And Darius Gardner and Stephen Cole will be presenting their work. They will be in attendance, and there'll be a discussion afterwards with them and led by Sydney Davis, who's the executive director of the Black Arts and Cultural Center. So I love seeing young filmmakers. I love seeing their work. It's always interesting to have the filmmaker there to ask questions, to find out their process, their intent, and it'll be a lovely evening tomorrow night.
So as artists are Mr. Gardner and Mr. Cole, working in West Michigan? Or will we see, I mean, if they're filming here, we might see our own environment.
Which is always fun.
Certainly Darius is.
Right? Yeah, right. He has a, and he's called it his I series, capital I. It's an anthology of 60 to 90 second single take films. So it'd be really interesting to see what he puts together.
Dara, does that make you think of how many 60 second films you'd have to make to get a good one?
It does, but I think he really plans it out and thinks about it before he pushes the record button. So, but that'll be fun to talk about his process and how many, what he considers failed ones that maybe don't make the screen tomorrow night.
This is at 6:30 tomorrow downtown at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, and you can find a link to that information at calfilmsociety.net.
Right.
And let's finish up with these top 10 lists.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's so many coming out, and Parasite's on just about every one. So if you have a film critic you like the best, and they come out with a top 10 list, and Parasite's not there, rethink that choice. I mean, Manola Dargis and A.O. Scott, probably two of the
New York Times
biggest esteemed film critics at the New York Times, right, had it both number three. Now, Manola Dargis said, if you want to know what cinema is, see this film. I'll go further. This film is what cinema aspires to be. Parasite, I'm talking about. So, anyhow, yeah, you'll see that pop up. Oh, and a little shout out to, and Darren and I talked about this, a film we showed in September is this documentary called Honeyland. A.O. Scott had it as his top film of the year. If you ever have a chance to see it, see it. I know it will be nominated as one of the five nominees, even though the Academy Documentary Committee sleeps, I think, a lot and doesn't watch these movies. But anyhow, I believe Honeyland will be there. It's a story of a Macedonian wild beekeeper, one of the last ones working in the world as a wild beekeeper. She lives up in about 20 miles outside of Skopje in a town that's deserted. She lives with her mother with no running water, no electricity, and she tends her hives. It is a story like no other. A.O. Scott had, I think, the courage to give it his top film of the year. The woman probably hasn't been out of that little corner of the world, so if she gets nominated, maybe they'll bring her to L.A., and it'd make me feel so happy.
Yeah. It's a beautiful film.
Sorry. It's Honeyland. Yeah. And any other ones that we shouldn't miss if we can get the chance?
Well, you know, we brought The Farewell, and I think The Farewell will be one of the nine films, or ten films, whatever the Best Picture nominations are for Academy Award. See The Farewell. You know, it's one of these things that are being classified as a foreign film because there's a lot of English in it, but there's more Mandarin than there is English, even though it was financed here. And Awkwafina, the stand-up comedian, is terrific in the role, and so is the grandmother. So I think it's at Redboxes if you use DVDs or, you know, if you have a chance, see The Farewell. That's not one to be missed either.
Right, for sure, yeah.
Will we see you next month, or will we see you back in February, do you think, to talk about what's
I'm
new?
Certainly willing to come back next month and talk about the Academy Award nominations and maybe whatever we're showing at the time.
Yeah, it will keep me up to date, and we'll have you back. Was there any final points to make this morning? I know you have to get down to the Parasite showing by 12 or so.
12:15, yeah.
No, if you could see either of those films the next 2 days, do
it's
it.
It's a chance.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to drive to Chicago or Ann Arbor or something.
Yeah, or Grand Rapids had it. You know, I'd like to think it'll come back once the nominations come out, but I cannot guarantee that, you know. Ed, so I'd say yes, come and see it now. It'll probably end up at a streaming service down the road, but not until after all the awards are given.
Well, there was something that passed through my mind about, the making room for blockbusters for special films by visionary directors like Taika Waititi. So he can almost push out his own smaller films with his own superhero films, because didn't he direct Thor?
That's right.
He
did.
Thor, What are they playing? Yeah. Ragnarok?
He's working against himself here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw a filmmaker one time say they like to do the odd commercial film because that pays for the small little independent ones.
Right.
And so in this case, because of the success of Thor, he'll get opportunities to work like he did with Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit and Parasite are currently showing at Celebration Cinema. You can find showtimes through the Kalamazoo Film Society website, calfilmsociety.net. They're also listed at the Celebration Cinema website. And Dara and Mike, it's been great to chat with you this hour.
Thank you.
As always, I indulge myself in a little film-related music. You mentioned Wes Anderson and his music box jewels of his movies. He prominently, in Moonrise Kingdom, used... Yeah. Benjamin Britten's music, including the children's opera Noah's Flood to help create the climax of the film. But right in the beginning, he was using lots of portions from The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra to get his story started. So we'll finish up with Young Person's Guide here on WMUK, and we will see you next month.
All right.
Thank you.